Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in league, Dylan Napper's future smells like shit as he chooses between fingering Kane Edwards' asshole on OnlyFans or playing for the Broncos.
Joey Manu receives rave reviews for his Mad Monday costume. Dylan Walker's misses.
Jaden Ockenbaugh set to finally fuck someone over 18 as he lines up against Nofa in his season finale.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action in the final round of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 430 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Look at that chipper start to the night, fellas. Good to hear.
How good.
It's been some fine chat already before we hit record. Looking forward to a nice episode of the warm glow of friendship as we navigate the final round of the 2021 season.
And neighborly conversations.
That's more for the members. That's more for the member side though. So
yes.
Yeah. Mm. Patreon.com/TwillNation if you want to hear some funny shit. Fellas, this week, news-wise, we kind of spoke about the Latrell stuff in the context of the game on the Sunday, on the recap episode this week.
Yep.
We have some aftermath of that. Since we recorded that show, he accepted the six-week punishment straight up. So of course that does remove him from the final series as you know everyone anticipated. Trent Robinson, for his part, his spray has netted a $40,000 fine in total for the Roosters.
Yes,
20 of which was the usual complaint about the referee's copper $20,000 fine situation. There was another 10 that was suspended from a previous incident that has since become activated due to this offence. And there was another 10 thrown on them for abuse of sideline officials.
Yep.
Now, look, honestly, well, you know, it's the Roosters. I mean, Uncle Nick will be, you know, sorting that shit out. The only ones I really have the issue with is the 10,000 about the sideline officials, or the on-field officials, sorry. On-field officials being abused from the sideline, sorry. That's the only one I really have an issue with. I mean, you don't want to see like referees copping it, because I would imagine that kind of abuse wasn't a carefully considered, you know, fairly measured
press conference
and not overly emotional press conference statement. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would have been, you know, potentially players yelling out stuff at the at the referees.
Was Gagai fined?
He was, yes.
It is. This is one of those situations where both parties have done exactly what they had to do. In that, Robbo had to come out in defense of his player. And regardless of what you think about his take on the Latrell tackle, he had to do it. It was one of those things. Had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the league have to come out and say, well, we have to do this as well.
Yeah.
So,
and he knew what he was getting. He knew what the consequences would be.
Oh, absolutely! And
as he was uttering the words, no doubt.
And let's not forget. I mean, he has been, you know, vindicated really with Perenara being removed from all games this weekend.
Yep.
And so, if nothing else, at least it's a some small measure of consolation or concession from the NRL. Yeah, you did have a point with what you said. So. And look, and the Latrell thing, six weeks, I think, is, it's probably all right, I think. I mean, it's a fairly hefty punishment in the scheme of things. I mean, punishments have gone down in length anyway over the years. I mean, you know, we're far distance from like Hopper getting what he got 12 weeks for decapitating Keefe, didn't
yep.
he? Yeah. Back in the day, yeah. And so, and yeah, arguably like a similarly bad incident, really. In terms of you know, effect.
Oh, look, the thing here, everybody's going around like they know exactly what he should have gotten. And you remember with Luttrell, he's got loading.
Yeah.
You know, so he comes into this with form.
Yeah. And look, he was looking at 9.
Yeah.
And I mean, so he took 6, which was the, you know, the early guilty plea discount.
That's it.
And like, yeah, and like, I think 9 is certainly...
You might have said 9 was heavy because the three gradings you can get at the judiciary are careless, reckless, and intentional.
Yeah, and then there's gradings within the, you know, within the each
That's
of those.
It. Now, yeah, and if I remember correctly, the Hopper was intentional, wasn't it? That was that.
Fuck, man! You're asking me to remember shit. Like, don't ask me things that happened last week, let alone like fucking 2002 or whatever but it see, was.
Here's the thing: everyone's walking around like they understand what the judiciary's exact definition of reckless and careless is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, take everything else out of it. Everything else out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It has been put to players this year that they need to change a tackling technique, and they need to have their targets lower. Yep. When they make contact, you know.
Yeah.
That's the new interpretation of the rules, and so the fact that he had poor technique, maybe poor technique's careless. Is it poor technique plus a heightened level of intensity? Does that make it reckless?
I think it's not. It's more the fact that. It doesn't matter where he hit Joey on the body. His point, the point of contact was always his shoulder, and there was no other way. That was literally the point of contact. That's what it was going to be, no matter where he hit him on his body.
Yep.
It was unfortunate for Manu that it was his face.
Yep.
But there was never an attempt at the top of the shoulder. No matter what happened, there was never going to be any intent to wrap the arms or anything. It was the point of the shoulder. The point of the contact was directly on his shoulder, and that's the way it was always going to be. So, that alone signals to me that, did he intend to break his face? Of course not.
Yeah,
but he did intend to launch himself, his sizable body mass, at full speed, with the point of contact being his shoulder. So.
There was some discussion between Rothfield and Kent on NRL 360 the other night.
Did you flush that?
it just come on after Tiger Town. And they were saying, well, they were arguing, as they fucking do, about intent to hurt. There was intent
Doesn't
to
Doesn't matter.
Whether it's a conscious intent, isn't that defense? Like if someone rushes up to put a shot on, even if it's perfectly legitimate, perfect technique.
Yeah, you're trying to hurt the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I see more, and it's shit that I hate, are those tackles like where they try and do the fucking body slams on them.
Mm.
Like lift them up in the air and then, you know, let gravity drop them with the force of their body on them.
Yeah.
Yep. I think they're fucking dog acts. Mm. The ones where, you know, if a player's laying on the ground, I don't think that all you should do is place a hand on them. That would still complete the tackle.
But they try and, like, throw their shoulder
That's
down.
That's it, those ones.
Yeah.
They're fucking dog acts.
The ones that make me cringe are the head slams. You know, obviously that wrestling with you know, there's a body full body tackle and then the wrestle action and then they sling the player into the ground and whiplashes the head. Well, I have trouble with those ones.
Yeah. I'm not sure Luttrell went out there to to hurt. I think he was intending to be physical, you know, to be dominant.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even care what the intent was, and I don't care, and I don't care about anything about the player who did it either.
Yeah,
you just look at the fact that it was a player on a team launched, you know, launched his large frame at someone with the point of contact always going to be his shoulder. That is like, yeah, absolutely, you know, that's like, you know, careless, reckless, you know, that's, it's all of that shit, right? You know, so it doesn't matter who it is, and like, and without trying to read any, you know, intent onto what the player was thinking or anything, just, I mean, what the player was thinking was just, you know, basically cut the play off.
Yep.
Where, you know, cut the play off.
Yeah.
Immediately. And, but, you know, if he did that, you know, with his arms in a wrapping motion, it probably would have been the exact same effect, but
yeah,
you probably wouldn't have had Joey Marnie with his face smashed open, you know, smashed to pieces either. Yeah. So,
the interesting thing here is as well that's come out of this, like for the Roosters, their new or now football manager Chris James, who's a former NRL referee, is under fire for allegedly sending a text message to Jared Maxwell. Okay. Former colleague, obviously he's a referee, denigrating the performance of the match officials. So now it's possible for somebody to text someone who they used to work with in the game and say, you know, geez, that's a bit ordinary. And I don't know that those are the words he used. He might have used very offensive language, but that's to me a little bit fucking far.
You know what that tells me?
That Jared Maxwell's a fucking snitch.
Jared Maxwell is a fucking snitch ass bitch, and he's not to be trusted,
or does not understand the fucking sanctity of the group chat. Because essentially,
yeah, that too. I hope everyone's ejecting him out of their DMs.
That's it.
The man cannot be fucking trusted.
That's it. So
at all,
or yeah, has a rampant gambling addiction and was paid $10,000 by the shit cunt rugby league media for his story.
You reckon the media's got that much money for a story about a text message?
Oh, who knows? Well, no, they do because it's about Latrell.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that story about text messages. And it's like, oh, that's fucking ridiculous. That's not public comment.
Yeah.
You're not broadcasting comment. That's literally just, yeah, well, I guess, you know,
I wouldn't say send a text message
to a mate because, I mean, you know, surely you wouldn't be mates with a fucking snitch like that. Fucking rat bastard, fucking
Jared, like, it's obviously Maxwell. Very
take him out in the fucking lake different, in the boat.
Very different circumstances, but you know, do you remember the when there was that one that the girl had the sex tape with the player and she was the one that ended up getting in trouble for releasing it?
Yeah, well, was that the Katoni Staggs one?
Yeah, similar situation here. How the fuck is he not going at Jared Maxwell? And, you know, if he doesn't work in the game now, it's probably hard for the game to penalise him. But to say, hang on, no, that was a private comment. He's the one that's made it public. I demand to know.
Unless he had a picture of his dicky with it, I don't think it's a legal issue.
Oh, it's not a legal issue.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that he made a comment about referees accompanied by a picture of his dick.
Well, okay, so mate, here we go. We've gone around in circles around a subject, and we've come up with a solution to a whole other subject. If you don't want if you want to legally protect yourself from having your text messages broadcast after you send them, make sure you attach a dick pic to them.
That's it.
Because then if they release them, it becomes a case of revenge porn.
So if you want to say something bad about referees, physically write it.
Just
in
life, just anything in general, just
write it on your cock.
Fuck. Jeez, it'd have to be a short message if it was me. All got really tiny writing, like those cunts that fucking do it on a grain of rice. I'd have to get them in.
And that, of course, is the art of dictation, isn't it, Glenn?
God damn.
Now, speaking of rat bastards, the Doggies released a statement on their social channels, basically listing the players that will be leaving the club at the conclusion of the season, i.e. after the game this week. The list is, well, I mean, the highlights off the list are Dylan Napa, Lachlan Lewis, obviously, who made his... I wonder if Lachlan Lewis would have been on this list if he didn't steal a soundbar.
Mm.
Will Hopewadi, who was going to Super League, Nick Meaney, who's going to the Storm, and Ranulph Fatone, who's going to the Roosters. But the ones who haven't been claimed, Napa, Lachlan Lewis, and there's a bunch of other ones there. Where are we? The bad Sione Katoa, Dean Britt, Chris Smith, Bradley Dietz, Falakiko Manu, James Romanus, and Watson Hiletta. So some of those, you know, barely made their debut this year, and some, you know, not so much. Adam Elliott, not on the list though.
Mm.
Yet. I mean, he is under contract for the next two seasons after this. But we saw rumours earlier in the week that the club was considering tearing up his contract after getting it on in the cubicle.
Mm.
But yeah, he's yet to respond. I think he's still got a couple of days, or maybe today was the last day for him to respond to the breach notice that he was served on Friday. And so I guess we'll, you know, remains to be seen what happens there.
That's it.
Napa's the only one of any real value to any club. And he seems a bit damaged goods these days.
Yeah. You know what he does? He does seem like the type of player that the Tigers could
rehabilitate.
Maybe bring in. Bring in for experience, in quotes.
Yeah. Real leadership. Yeah. He's a real leader.
Yeah, well, they'd probably get about as much out of him as they got out of James Tamau, let's face it. I mean, they haven't got a lot out of him. It's clear that the biggest leader in the club is leaving. That's Moses Zumbai on the latest episode of Tiger Town. Real great fucking mates here.
We're all good mates. Except you, Moffa. You're a cunt.
But did you hear him? If one's got their head down, everyone's got to have their head down. You know? We're all in this together. We're all good mates here. Looking over that list, though,
Why is he Lebanese?
That wasn't Lebanese.
Yes, it fucking was.
Yes, it was.
Well, I fucking grew up in Western Sydney. It's there. No matter who I fucking impersonate, it's there. But out of that list,
Robbie Farah was using him as a fucking ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah. Hoju is the only one that I look at and go, fuck, there's some sliding doors moments with that guy.
Yeah.
In his career choices.
And his choice of family.
I mean, it's funny. He's the only one that seems to, you know, come out of the whole thing without that sort of Hopewadi sort of chip on his shoulder.
My stance on religion is well known. But yeah. Here is a real life example of its ability to make someone not a cunt.
Yeah, 2 years out, 2 years out of interstate from the rest of the family, it seems like it just got him through the troublesome influence years.
Yeah,
where you see that you know that certainly two of his brothers have played in the NRL did not escape.
Yes, so, but yeah, I think he would have had a much more memorable legacy if he had been somewhere with probably a little bit more class around him and probably some more wisdom from a coaching perspective, which is a shame.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you know, he's going to land on his feet in Super League and probably make a ton of cash, and he'll fucking kill it over there. It's really, I don't know where you would see someone like Dylan Napa land.
Mm.
Just with the fact that, A, he's you know, he's getting on, and his abilities, you know, it's not really there. But also, comes with a lot of fucking baggage now too, because he's got a lot of, he's been involved in everything.
Yeah,
except for the soundbar thing. That's probably he's been through it all. So, And Lachlan Lewis, I saw an article. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw an article the other day where the NRL was talking that along the lines of the NRL not registering the next contract for him over this, soundbar business.
Yeah, wow.
I don't condone what he did.
Yep.
And I don't know. I have a problem if that action results in him not being able to have a contract registered.
Well, when you see guys like, you know,
glaring examples of people that,
like your Zane Tatavanos and your Adam Fanua Blakes, who have served their time. No, but see, Dylan Walker, because he skated on it though. So he didn't get done. But I mean, like, you got guys like Adam Fanua Blake and Zane Tedavano who did the crime, did the punishment,
actually,
and then walked straight back in, yep. You know, straight but after.
You've got to remember, though, there are also differences between, you know, what things has the NRL always been the most stern about? Gambling? Match fixing?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Like shit that relates directly to them.
Mm.
So as an employer or as a, you know, contracting financier, right, I guess,
yeah, yeah.
They have massive say. So, Glenn, what would you do if somebody, like you gave someone a laptop and they sold that on eBay?
Yeah, zero tolerance.
Exactly. What would you do if somebody hit their wife and then said, you know, look, I've done something terrible. I need to go to jail for 6 months. You know, or I have been to jail for 6 months 3 years ago. But they were perfect for the position. Or you'd already had them employed for 6 months and then found out you can't fire them.
Yeah, fair. That's, you know, a fair point.
And I'm not saying it's right.
Mm.
But he, like, the employment laws or the laws of engagement that the NRL work under are fucking scarily tied to actual, you know, normal business labour laws.
Mm.
Mm.
So they have less power for things that don't directly affect them.
So,
you know, yeah. Belt your wife.
Career over.
As long as she's carrying a baby and not an NRL fucking iPad.
Yeah. So. As long as you don't kick the soundbar itself.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, so you've got some control over your kicks. So yeah.
You could belt your wife, record it, and play it through that soundbar.
Provided you remove it from where it was supposed to be.
That's it.
Now, the last thing I've got here, I mean, it wasn't a shitload of news, but we're starting to get to that period of time where it is just transfers and this and that. But I saw one today where John Bateman is looking to come back to the NRL less than a year after walking out on the Raiders for homesickness to go back to England. Now, from what I understand, his partner, who I think he met over here, and so she's from Canberra, she's homesick and wants to return to Australia.
Oh,
God. And like, from all reports...
Hang on, wasn't the thing that she was pregnant and they needed support with the baby? Or am I thinking of another homesick
person? Was that
her
or was that George Williams? Yeah.
I think that was George Williams.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But in any case, he's been over there playing for Wigan and... You know, my friends who watch the English Super League reckon he hasn't been going that great anyway over there. So it looks like it's a possibility that he may come back to the NRL next year. Anyway, long way around, but the West Tigers are emerging as a potential destination for John Bateman.
Look, you no can offer easily... Yet, there's no offer yet. Everyone's linked to the West Tigers. Don't you know every player that's looking for a club wants to come and play for the West Tigers until it comes time to sign for the West Tigers, and then no one does.
I don't want to hear bullshit, and you, I don't want to hear your spiel about, you know, to try and cover things over. If he does, are you interested in taking him at your club, knowing that he was probably the first cancerous cells that probably killed Canberra's window?
It's a very interesting question that you put to me, but
he was the first carton of Winnie Reds that went to the lungs of the Canberra Raiders premiership window, which is now just basically stage 4 cancer.
The thing is, though, if your dick's already starting to rot off, and then you just inject it.
Okay, I was going down lung cancer, but yeah. Okay.
And then you just inject it with more dick rot. You can't blame the injection. It was already happening.
Wow.
Okay.
That is so the you're fucking saying West Tigers.
John Bateman is dick rot. Additional dick rot.
Can I just clarify, though, just so I'm sure we're on the same page, you are saying that the West Tigers have incurable dick cancer right now and that John Bateman would just somehow... push them into palliative care or...
To be fair, it's not right now. It's been for the last decade.
So they've been stunning and brave fighting against this terminal dick cancer that they've been diagnosed with.
Look, it's, is it dick it's cancer? A testament to
me. I feel that dick rot is more accurate because to me that sounds like a hygiene issue.
Or like syphilis in the 1700s.
You're in the best position to speak on this, Jase. I'll let you talk about what dick rot actually means, but I'll talk about how it applies to the Tigers.
If I imagined that, you know, let's say...
no need to imagine. Look
in
your pants.
A magical fairy came down and sprinkled fairy dust on the dick rot bacteria to bring said dick rot to life...
Mm. Bateman is not that fairy dust.
Well, no, I would have imagined that that looks exactly like what Justin Pascoe did in the last episode of Tales from Tiger Town. So,
and he got some in his hair. Or was that the greys? Or was that the dyed orange bit? I don't know.
Jesus,
what colour is fairy dust? I don't fucking know. But is it the same colour as dick rot? These are questions I have.
Here's my thing with situations like this, and it may be completely genuine. That's fine. But my instant reaction is, oh, geez, that's a very fucking childlike way to behave. And one thing that fills me with joy very much as a parent is calling someone's bluff. So I would love for the NRL to come back and say that, you know, no, you've claimed homesickness previously. And so it would be remiss of us and... we would be breaching our duty of care to you and your mental health to allow you to return here to play in our competition. We can't stop you from returning to Australia, but you will need to find other employment. Thank you very much. Good luck.
But, Johnny Dick Rot. Now, if the episode is not called Dick Rot, Nathan, you're a fucking coward. That's what I have to say.
Oh, look, keep it fucking PG. We don't want the episode titles getting us banned.
Very young people and very old people listen to the show, and honestly, do they need to be assaulted by your fucking filth?
Yeah,
it's rich coming from you blokes. But and yeah, we're not
going to call it something like Peckeridge, because then those kids will be there, you know, wanting to get to the Peckeridge bit so they can fucking giggle, and all they've got is Unky Glenn talking on about dick rot for 50 minutes. You know, Jesus Christ.
I mean, you're already ruined fucking so many people's breakfast on Thursday this week with your dick rot talk on Thursday the 2nd of September. I can see into the future. Fruit Loops just fucking vomited everywhere.
That's it.
Grover's eating his all brand just like,
righto, we're into the final round of the regular season. Sad to see it go, to be honest. It's been a fun season so far.
Oh, it's been fucking tremendous.
Final previews. Ba 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 ba. Da 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 da.
Da 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 da. That song was.
You know, he's still going.
You have associations with songs. How far are you going to take it?
Well, you go. He's finished when he's fucking finished. Let the men do his do-do-do's.
No, we're good.
Exactly. Like, and now I can just see you just jumping out on the stage like Job doing a magic show, doing a crappy magic show. Because that's what that song makes me think of now forevermore.
Oh, I tell you what, that's right up there with thinking it. It's not saying it. I fucking love it.
I'm a triple threat.
Aren't you what?
Podcasting, singing, and STIs.
Yes. You could be the mustard green wiggle.
or the camo wiggle, if you will, this evening.
Or whatever the colour of you know, syphilitic fucking ejaculate is.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm ruining people's breakfast. Yeah, gotcha.
My name is Jane, that'll clear the last
and
of it out.
I say hi. I've been told my jizz burns your eye.
Thursday night football this week. The Canberra Raiders taking on the Sydney Roosters in Mackay. Right, okay, the Canberra Raiders side.
My eyes are watering, ironically.
Glenn, now it's time for shush. Grown-ups speaking about rugby league.
Fucking right, I'll be looking forward to hearing them. When do they arrive?
Nickel Klukstad moves to fullback, so that'll be his first start since his return for injury. Bailey Simonson's out with a groin injury, so Jordan Rapinoe moves to the 5, and Soliola named at lock with Sutton benched. It's the Roosters' side. Angus Crichton returns from suspension in the back row. J-Moz, after announcing his retirement this week, he returns in the 3, and Adam Kieran in the 4, and Letters comes back at prop. Lachlan Lamb is listed at halfback. Walker's benched. Fletcher Baker suspended. Egan Butcher drops to the bench. And White out of the 17. So, the equation for this one. Canberra obviously need to win this game. A loss of any magnitude is pretty much season over. Unless, and it's not possible, the Sharks lose by like 50, 60 points. To sort out the differential gap between the two sides, and the Titans have to lose the Warriors.
Here's the thing for the Raiders and the Sharks. Bringing out the trusty ladder predictor, and I've cleared everything so we don't get fucking cookies spoiling it like we did for the Tigers fans.
That's cool. I've got all the notes here for the finals equation if you want. You don't need to do your fucking Tigers of 4 points into the 8 with no one. Unassailable fucking.
This is a fucking fourth week in a row where you've done this, and the first attempt you had at it was diabolical, and you've still continued it.
Canberra Raiders need to win, but a win is no guarantee of 8th place, because if the Sharks win in the game after this, then that'll end Canberra's season. So they can possibly finish 8th, 9th or 10th, but they need to rely on the Sharks losing and the Titans losing.
Yes.
The Roosters, they have 4th, 5th or 6th on offer. If they lose this game, they'll end up in 6th. Mm-hmm. If they win, then it depends on what Manly and Parramatta do. But if all three sides going for the top 4 win, then on for and against, the Roosters will... finish 6th anyway, so it's looking like it's not set in stone, but yeah, if the Roosters win, it's looking like they'll be playing Mitchell Pearce and the Knights in week 1 of the finals.
I think Letters and Crichton are big ins for the Roosters.
Huge ins.
And I think without them, then the Raiders would have had a massive show of getting on top of them through the forwards, and then, you know, getting that momentum, which under the current rules we've seen is very hard to pull back once teams get on a roll. But with those guys in, I think it nullifies the potential advantage of the Raiders. And then you've got Tedesco. I think Tupou and Morris will see a lot of ball. They'll, you know.
But Kieran's been great for them too, and he's been in too as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, look, I think the Roosters will get there. But, I mean, the Raiders have been, they've been in their games for, you know, over a month now, haven't they?
Canberra Raiders are always in a fucking game.
We can say that, and it's kind of true, at least in the post-origin period of season 2021. I think that I favour the Roosters, though.
I do.
Sharkies will take on the Melbourne Storm on the early game at Cbus this weekend too, on this Friday night doubleheader. It is my understanding, I saw an ad on Facebook or something the other day saying that the kids get in for free, asterisk. So I presume it means, like, you know, maybe with, you know, one free kid for each adult ticket purchase or something. But if you're down that way, though, you know, there's some reasonable games with, you know, finals ramifications. The first of which is the Sharks versus the Storm. Now, the Sharkies side, Metcalf is benched and Moylan starts in the halves, otherwise no changes. The Melbourne Storm side, okay. So Jesse Bromwich is suspended, so Big Nelson will return there at prop. Kama Kamika is the other prop. Christian Welch is being rested. George Jennings comes back from injury, and so he'll basically replace Ado Carr, who has the hamstring injury he picked up last weekend. Nico Hines will start at 6. Cameron Munster rested. Finucane returns at lock. Harry Grant benched, and Brandon Smith going back to hooker. Felice Kafusi and Kenny Bromwich arrested. Chris Lewis and Aaron Penny in aside. Jordan Grant and Riley Jacks on the bench. So, the finals equation here is that what we got here: a win for the Sharkies, provided they don't have to win by too much because Canberra somehow miraculously flogged the Roosters by tons. That'll be it. They'll be in the eight. A loss, and then they rely on Canberra losing and the Titans not winning by enough to cover the gap in differential, which I think is around 20. So the Sharks have got to win, though.
Storm's bench is light on.
Yeah, look, it is. But their starting side, whilst having guys rested, still has Jerome Hughes and Nico Hines, who have been two of their better performers in the entire season. Pappenhausen will be another game into his, resumption of play.
Still got cheese. Big Nelson comes back.
Look, I always find that Seve is a bit of a weak link, but can the Sharks exploit him? I think he'll probably have a great game against them and barrel over them. And Kama Kamika and Asafa Solomona are certainly. Yeah, I feel like they've got it over Toby Rudolph and Aaron Woods too to start. I mean, that's who they're starting with. So. Yeah. I agree with you on the bench.
I've been disappointed by Rudolph recently. Like he came onto the scene and he impressed early on, but he seems to have gone the cheese route too far. Like he's taken that good natured larrikin, everyone loves him.
I honestly just think that because of the players that they've got at the club, and they've got a couple of relative handbrakes there, like Aaron Woods and so on, I think he has to play too many minutes, and I think his fitness is not up to the modern game.
Correct.
And I don't think he's up to his fitness is up to like 60 minutes in the current game.
And I know we always say it, but can you imagine him under the Bellamy regime?
Mm.
He would be fit as fuck.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't see the Sharks winning this one. Like, it's a great opportunity for them, and they've got the history, the grand final opponents. So there's ways to get them up.
Yeah.
But is Josh Hannay the guy to inspire them to a win around it? And if he's not the guy to do it off the field, who's the guy to do it on the field?
Yeah.
Scroll through that side. The only name that comes to mind is Kennedy. And I don't think he's got the experience to inspire a side to beat Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah, and I just don't think Matt Moylan and Braden Trindle are going to be, outcraft and outgame manage Jerome Hughes and Nico Hines.
Yeah.
Jerome Hughes particularly.
I don't think Matt Moylan's inspiring anyone unless those people that are somehow born without fucking hamstrings. He's inspiring them that you can actually become a professional athlete without.
Do you know there is currently a global level sporting event where most or a great number of the professional athletes actually don't have hamstrings? That was very fucking insensitive.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for pointing that out. Appreciate it. As always, your opinion has been taken on board.
On board what? The Titanic?
To remain with the nautical motif of the episode.
Yeah, now it does show when with all these restings, it does show that the Melbourne Storm don't really give a fuck about the minor premiership, and having certain players right for the finals is more important to them.
Yep.
But yeah, I still think they'll probably have it all over Cronulla in this game. The Parramatta Eels take on the Panthers. The late game on Friday at Cbus. Now this one, oh my god, the Parramatta Eels changes for the side pretty much fucking everybody. let's be real. Dunster remains on the wing, and Blake Ferguson remains on the wing, and you got Opacek and Oldfield in the centres, Hayes Perham in the this fullback, Will Smith captains the side in the six, with Jacob Arthur in the seven. They have they're fucking resting, like they're resting everybody. No Moses, no Dylan Brown, no Gutherson, no Papali'i, no Nathan Brown. Like they're resting everyone except maybe like Bryce Cartwright and fucking Sean Lane, and Sean Lane's on the bench. So that to me says that they have conceded the race for the top four and are content to finish fifth or sixth.
Yep.
The Panthers side, on the other hand, is at this stage pretty much, you know, full strength what we'd expect to see. You've got Fishback in the 10.
$1.03.
Yeah, they were paying that last week though too against the Tigers. This should be
Paramount.
If the Tigers game was $1.03, then this should be like fucking 90 cents. You should be punished for putting money on them. Parramatta. Yeah, they fourth is on the table for them. I mean, they have to win the game, and you know, and then they have to hope that the Roosters don't win by too much, and hope that Manly lose. But the lineup they've chosen is all they care about is resting their guys.
Hang on, even if Manly lose. So if the Raiders win, the Storm win, the Eels win, and the Cowboys beat Manly.
That'll put the Parramatta Eels in fourth, won't it, by two points? Aren't they on the same as Manly and the Roosters?
So that would... Well, yeah, but their for and against is insurmountable.
Yeah, but if Manly lose, though, then they're 2 points behind on the competition ladder, so, you know, and Parramatta win.
Yeah.
If Eastern Parramatta lose these games, then Manly can't get knocked out of the four unless they lose by, like, 100.
So... Manly are currently on 34 points. Parramatta are currently on 32 points.
Later I'm looking at says
they're all 32.
Manly are on
32.
Eels are 32.
They're all they're Roosters all 32.
Are you looking at your ladder predictor and you haven't
you're
cleared
your
fucking
predictor.
Cookies again? Fuck's sake, cunt! Your ladder keep playing with the Tigers will be in the eight by the time we're fucking done.
Your ladder predictor should be in Tokyo at the moment.
What the fuck? No, I'm looking at the ladder.
Hang on a minute. I'm pretty sure they're all in the same points, man.
It's got Manly on 34.
No, well, maybe they've announced that game's off because it's a foregone conclusion, but we'll see. Hang on a minute. No, 32 around for those three teams. And that's why the Thursday and Friday games are important, because if the Roosters do lose and the Eels do lose, then it doesn't matter what Manly do, because they've got a significant differential, I think. Yeah, they've got like 80 odd on the Eels. And they've got like over 100 on the Roosters. So they'd have to lose by fucking a load. Panthers, I think they want the minor premiership. I mean, the signals to me that they probably value getting an extra week of having Cleary back and the combination and confidence and all that sort of thing.
I think that's more close to the point than the minor premiership. Whilst you'd never say no to an accolade like that, I think it's more about, well, hang on, we've had a bunch of our fucking players out for a long time.
Yeah.
We need some runs on the board as a unit.
Yeah.
More so than, ooh, we can get the minor premiership here. Because for them to get the minor premiership, the Storm still have to lose.
Yeah, yeah. And but they will know. They will know before they run out. But they've got to announce their team. So and they don't have. It's not like they've got these nobodies. From 18 to 21 in the lineup either. I mean, they've got guys that have spent time and like Mitch Kenny and stuff that have spent significant amount of time on the field this year anyway.
Yep.
Panthers can finish first, second, or third, and it all just depends on win or lose and the differential. It looks like they're probably going to be playing South. So.
in week one. And I think that's a lineup that they, you know, that's a result that they'd probably be pretty happy with, given the fact that they you know, beat South recently. South is dealing with all the Latrell stuff as well. I think you know, they're pretty desirable matchup, I think, for a top four matchup.
That's it.
The Broncos take on the Knights on Saturday afternoon at Suncorp. The Broncos side. I am not seeing the changes there, but it looks like they're regular fucking side. Hang on a minute, let me just scroll down again. Yeah, there we go. Flegler and Piakura out suspended. Bullimore comes in for Flegler. Reece Kennedy comes in for Piakura. Ricky returns to the back row with Rabadi benched, and Pakes and Mead take the final two bench spots. The Newcastle Knights side. Clemmer returns from suspension. Jacob Saifidi gets a rest. Jaden Brayley and Mitch Barnett also get a rest. Chris Randall, Brody Jones start with instead of those guys. Stafford Toller replaces Heimel Hunt, and Crosland and Jones are the new bench players. So the Knights are the one team, I think, in the whole finals scenario where nothing changes no matter what. They're going to finish seventh no matter what happens in this game.
Okay.
And so they are rightly resting some players for what's coming ahead. The Broncos, on the other hand, 14th or 15th, they're playing for nothing. And look, I think the Knights aren't resting the pieces that are the most important to them. I think they still want to keep building on the you know, Ponga and Pierce and Clifford spine combination.
Yep.
And
I think Pierce would be better for the extra run anyway, rather than resting him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Because this will probably be what, the fourth game in a row maybe where they've had the spine relatively intact. And I mean, they are giving Brayley a rest, but I think it's more important though to get Ponga involved with the other two.
I expect the Knights to blast out of the blocks and have a really solid 40 minutes in the first half, and probably put the game out of the Broncos' reach. And then I think you'll see some of those guys get an early mark.
the Knights are favourites for a reason. But I still think there's some danger in this game for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Their Achilles heel recently has been completely of their own doing, and it's things like handling and poor choices to end sets. You know, for the most part, Mitchell Pearce has done a good job steering them around the park, but it's when the play breaks down and it gets away from him that they can do some truly fucking stupid things. And, the Broncos, their season as a whole has been an absolute abortion, but they have been improving recently. And you look at what they can do when it seems that there's no pressure on the fucking players. Like Anthony Milford's last two games have been the best since he came from Canberra.
Or since the 2015 season, let's say. I mean, where he did, they did take the side of the grand final when he would have won the Clive Churchill.
Yeah, fair call.
Fucking, I want to say that was probably a better game. season, but no, it's his best. You'd certainly be correct in saying his best performance in years.
Yeah.
Certainly back to back as well. So
this is by no means a sure thing for the Knights. I still think they'll get it, but they're going to actually have to work for it.
Yep. Yep. And if they do regress to some of their, some of their lower tendencies, then I think the Broncos have a bit of confidence and, feel a lot better about the way they've been playing the last sort of month and a half.
Yeah, that's it.
Last game for Alex Glenn, home crowd on an afternoon, not a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, the Broncos do tend to play better under those sorts of circumstances.
Yeah.
But I still think Newcastle will win. I mean, at the end of the day, they've got finals to play and they want to, They're up against it anyway, week one of the finals, so
yeah,
they need to get right. Yep. The Cowboys take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles. The Cowboys playing for nothing. Reuben Cotter's out. Cohen Hess returns at prop, which allows Tamalolo to move to lock. Although I heard that the reason why he was named in the 10 last week was an issue of jersey sizes.
Okay.
So, slip on down to best and less, boys. Fuck.
Yeah, I don't know how true that is, but yeah. Okay, the Manly side. Kepi and Paseka return on the bench with Sipley and Sirenin dropping to the reserves. Cowboys, same as Broncos, 14th or 15th. Just depends on which one of them win and how much. Manly,
we'll know on Friday whether they need to win to finish fourth. But I'd imagine that they'd want to win anyway. Yep. And but yeah, could finish fourth to sixth, you know, throughout the scenario based on those wins in the earlier games. Although we do know that the Roosters will, you know, probably win and the Eels will most certainly lose. So I'd say Manly looking at fourth or fifth, depending on the result of this game. But it's closest to the full strength that they're going to have, I think, finally.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about it on the show, though. Fucking the state of refereeing in this day and age, though. There was an incident there where there was a doggies player gets tackled and he's on his back or whatever. He goes to play the ball comes out and they like knock on and they're like, you know, challenge. So they go to challenge it and then the bunker comes back and goes, Sean Kepi has tried to strip the ball, so therefore it's a, you know, the challenge is successful and it's, you know, it's a penalty to the Doggies. The only problem is Sean Kepi had to leave the bubble to attend the birth of his child and he hadn't spent his time back on the sidelines. So in that game, he was on the sideline as the ball boy and the referee's like, Sean Kepi's stripping the ball, and he's like, fair, he's standing on the sideline going, the fuck, man, I'm not even playing.
Fair enough to strip the ball as a ball boy.
Yeah, that was fucking funny though. Yeah, Manly win well and get this finals party started right. The Rabbitohs take on the Dragons in the second last game of the round. Saturday night, Sunshine Coast Stadium. If you're a Rabbits or Dragons Queensland-based fan, I would urge you to go. It's a fucking great stadium to watch footy.
Are you just completely discounting the Tigers game?
Did I skip through? No, the Tigers game's not there yet. I said it's the second last game and Tigers is last, right? Oh, no, it's not. Okay, there's a couple more. Sorry, I jumped ahead. I would never discount the Tigers game.
Hang on.
Yeah,
Manly,
no.
Manly Cowboys.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Then you guys Dragons. Go through it. And when you
then Dragons, then the Titans, and then and the Tigers.
Correct.
Then the Tigers.
Yeah. No, I did. I miscounted. Sorry, the third last game, Glennie. The Rabbits and the Dragons at Sunshine Coast Stadium, which, before I was rudely interrupted, I was urging people to most certainly go and watch the games there. It's fucking great. Okay, so the Rabbits, they've got Taffy replacing Latrell Mitchell. Reynolds, Gagai, and Cook are all out. Johnston, Walker, Murray, and Arrow all dropped to the reserves, which means they're probably not going to fucking play either.
Correct.
Ilias is the new half, alongside Benji. And he's promoted to the starting 5/8 role. Milne and Burns come into the back line. And Mamouzelos replaces Cook at hooker. And Margo is prop. Nichols moves to lock and gets the captaincy after his two-try hero effort last week. Liam Knight, like Luttrell, is suspended. Tom Burgess gets a rest. And the Rabbitohs, it's fair to say, don't give a fuck about the result of this game. They're very content to finish in second or third. especially given the fact that there's no such thing as home ground advantage in this final series, because you're just going to get flung to some Queensland destination. Okay, so the Dragon side. Beal replaces Lomax in the back line. Farmacili replaces Ford on the bench. And I've already had Dragons fans messaging me this afternoon and yesterday afternoon. Corey Norman, in a game that means nothing, is still named in the seven. Still. So the Dragons, depending on all the other goings on, they could finish 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Their finals chances ended a fortnight ago, of course. The Rabbitohs, as we said, they can finish second or third. But, yeah, in any case, if they win, they might be able to finish second. If they lose, then they finish third. Next, I assume we don't have to say that Souths are going to win this game, even though they haven't got anybody on the field, right? Despite the fact that they're running out the North Sydney Bears, they're still going to win against the Dragons, right?
Correct.
You know, to be honest, I mean, the Dragons probably have a reasonable chance, given that they have named what for them, under the Griffin Ball era, is kind of like full strength-ish, with the exception of Zach Lomax. So, look, they're not without a chance. They're not. But I can't make promises for the Dragons fan base that I can't.
Your ego can't write checks that the Dragons can't cash.
Well, I hope that Corey Norman has an absolute fucking wow of a game and Anthony Griffin fucking reneges on his decision and re-signs him to another 2-year deal. because fuck the Dragons the ideal, and fuck their fans.
The ideal situation is you get someone like Benji, kicks a field goal, the Rabbits take a 1 point lead going into the last 35 seconds of the game. The Dragons have got a kickoff and like three tackles maybe max to get downfield. They do it, they get downfield, and then fucking Corey Norman smacks a two-pointer.
Yeah.
But he smacks it from like, you know, 55. Like, he absolutely fucking clubs it. And they win by one. And then the Dragons fans have to pretend to like Corey for a brief moment. The Gold Coast Titans take on the Warriors at Cbus on Sunday afternoon. The Titans side, Fotuaika starts at prop. Tino goes a lock. McIntyre benched. The Warriors. Harris DeVita returns in the halves. Chad Townsend is out. Bunty Ofoa drops off the bench with Tanoa Brown replacing him. Probably going to be a dead rubber by the time that this actually occurs.
Yeah.
If Cronulla or Canberra win in the early games, then the Gold Coast are done for the season. If both of them lose, though, then the Titans can pull a bit of a Stephen Bradbury and get into the finals. But they need to... It's just so much shit that needs to happen. They need to rely on Cronulla and Canberra both losing. And then they need to bridge a differential gap against Cronulla. And so if Cronulla get absolutely slaughtered, then it helps, you know, it might help the Titans out. But whatever that differential is, they need to get it, they get over that. But Titans, yeah, they could finish 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, but they're, you know, in all likelihood going to, you know, stay above 11th because it requires the Warriors to destroy them.
Yeah.
Surely the Gold Coast get the win here, right? At home, last game of the season, fairly full strength side considering what they're trotting out at the moment.
There's the potential for some serious NRL chaos, like given the resting and different things around.
Yeah.
I think this game to me is still the hardest to pick, as in it's one that the Titans should obviously win, and when they're up against teams of, you know, sort of equal quality to them, they've been very good this year. But then the Warriors have had those games where they come out and just, you know, put together the best possible Warriors 80 minutes,
yep,
and take games that they shouldn't. So
I think you know, the factors that are most dangerous for the Warriors in their favour is the fact that A, they can play with that sort of reckless abandon, that, you know, and purely for spoiling the Titans' party, so to speak. And they've got the talent, you know, in Walsh and Harris Tevita. They've certainly got forward pack to compete with the Titans.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think this will be a pretty tightly contested game. I will tip the Titans, though.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that, the best thing that could happen for this game is have the Titans have a chance. Like for the purpose of NRL chaos, having the Titans have that scenario where they win, and then there's a certain amount of, you know, margin they're chasing,
yep,
to get into the finals. That's for the entertainment value of the game. That's the best thing that could happen for it.
Yeah,
you know, and look, it's not impossible. I mean, you know, there's a very good chance that both the Sharks and the Raiders lose. It's a very good chance.
Yep.
So, but that's the scenario I want to see.
I still think that chance of the Raiders, the Sharks winning, that's what gets me about all of this.
Yeah.
Just don't think it's going to happen.
Mm.
Yeah. But, I mean, they given to the restings, they do have a chance, and Canberra have an even better chance.
Yeah.
I think, just in terms of, you know, the opposition they're playing. The final game of the season, regular season, the West Tigers take on the Bulldogs. Back at old Dolphins at Moreton Daily again.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon. Glenn, are you going down there?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Have you bought your tickets?
No, I haven't yet.
Are you going to buy them there, or are you going to get them in advance?
No, I'll probably get them in advance.
Yeah, so let me know before you get them, though, because I'm going away this weekend, but I'll probably be back up by the time that game's going to start. So I'm thinking I might come down as well just for some rugby league because I can't fly up to fucking Townsville to watch Manly this weekend. So I've already become spoiled by the watching footy every single weekend thing. it's been like a month and a half or something.
It's a shame that, you know, it's Father's Day, Jackson's birthday. It's just a shame that Michael Maguire's decided to rest Adam Dury and Dane Laurie from this game. We won't see a full-strength Tigers outfit destroying the Bulldogs. But
I thought Arnott's decided to rest them. Wasn't Madge's decision. Now, Mowie is going to be a fullback. Fucking great mate to all.
Mates. For all his mates.
Look, Tuolangi replaces Seifarth. That's it, and that's on the bench. So there's barely any difference in the West Tigers side that came out there and really stuck it to the Panthers last weekend. The Doggies. Corey Plaudel replaces the injured Matt Dory. And Napa returns. However, he's in the 20, so he probably won't get a game.
Jeez.
The brave Doggies from last weekend. Brave but hopelessly outclassed. West Tigers just needed that little kick from Dewey. And they won't have that this week again either.
No. But
you saw both of these teams run around last weekend before your very eyes.
Yeah. In your right mind, you couldn't tip against the Tigers in this game.
Why? And you can't say because they're always in a fucking game.
Well, they are always in a fucking game. The West Tigers are a fucking good team. Moses Zimbo and all his mates come out.
Do you know the thing? Their result at the end of the year wouldn't be that different if they were actually never, like literally never in a game.
Well, to be fair, that's because they haven't been in most games.
But rarely been in a game this season.
Well, they've physically been there. I'm saying if they just weren't physically there, it wouldn't have been too different a season.
Do you have any information from the inside, Glennie, about whether or not they found their why? Because I think that's a big factor for this one.
Well, the why has to be because they're paid to do this and run out and play a game of rugby league. At a certain level, probably, not a high level, but probably high enough to beat the Dogs.
I put it to you that that why has been there for the duration of the season and hasn't fucking helped them so far.
I just wish the Tigers
had found
their... I
think Major's talking about another why. That why's not good enough to give me another one.
They need to find their why not. The problem is
they keep paying them. Maybe if they stop paying them, they'd go away. And then you'd be able to get some better players.
As someone that fucking trotted out the fucking NRL and the relevance of workplace laws, now you just want them to stop paying their fucking employees.
Jesus. What are they going to do? Seriously.
Find their, why the fuck aren't you paying me?
Like, Knopfler would be, he'd whinge about being entitled to money.
He deserves a paycheck.
I reckon a judge or a magistrate would look at that and go, oh, not sure. So it's probably the Tigers' best option. Just stop paying them.
Well, that'd be fair. The judge would probably be happy to adjudicate, but David would probably be about 15 metres to the left of the courthouse and wouldn't actually be able to attend.
By this stage, fuck, Justin Pascoe's a crazy cat lady, except it's with players, not cats.
Well, you've got to make use of all those dongers once the Centre of Excellence is built and the fucking... they start their relationship with the female soccer team that they're renting it off.
Are you slapping dongers with the female soccer team? Is that what you're saying?
Not where I was going, but I would imagine those dongers are going to be filled with Justin Pascoe's cats.
Yeah.
He looks like he smells like cat piss.
I hope... Look, I hope the West Tigers.
If these cunts can't win a game on Father's Day, and not that Jackson is a Tigers fan, but on my son's birthday, when we travel to fucking Penrith by the sea and probably encounter another domestic dispute, fuck Jesus. And they're playing the Dogs.
Why does Jackson, a Broncos fan's birthday, have any bearing on the result of this fucking game?
It doesn't. It just should be a happy day.
He probably wants to see the Doggies fucking win for his birthday. So what's the more powerful so he can magic?
Sledge his dad.
Yeah, what's the more powerful magic? Father's Day or birthday magic? There you go. That's your answer.
Tigers by 40.
Jesus Christ. Bulldogs by 6.
T.
Fuck off, come.
Well, man, they put on some good tries against Manly.
I was saying fuck off to them winning by 60.
Well, are you saying that the Tigers' defence is equal of Manly, a top four side?
Well, which part of their defence? They'll have the same number of players in the defensive line. What does that count for?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
But honestly, with Noffa just off with the fairies, I mean, do they have the same amount of players in the defensive line, or do they only have fucking 12?
And we alluded to it. Does Ockenball match up with him? Are they on the same side of the field?
No. Unless Madge pulls the Sheenius thing and thinks that maybe he'll just hide Noffa over on the other side
for 1 week. Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to be Kenny.
Imagine being hidden from Jaden Ockenbore.
Yeah. Look, who knows? Who knows what goes through Simon Dwyer's
mind? I'm just going to put this long wig and a female school uniform on you and just hide you over here, mate. He'll never fucking find you.
Well, I'll tell you what, he won't run into a gap next to you. He might run into your gap, but...
Mailbag time. Let's go. Very topical to the Titans game we were just speaking about a couple of games ago. But Matthew says, why the fuck didn't we pick Marzu? And he's supplied a graphic there that has Greg Marzu, winger on the right-hand side for the Titans until he was dropped after the Storm game a couple of weeks ago. Fifth on the table for average run meters in a game. Narrowly behind Dylan Edwards. 4 meters behind Dylan Edwards. So... look, Marzu,
half of those meters for Dylan Edwards are fucking spent running backwards, catching the fucking balls that he's dropped.
Yeah, so I think with Marzu, I remember even speaking about him in that Storm game, how he scored that first try and basically barged his way over through like two or three Storm players. And
yeah, that's it.
Problem was, Fox got a double, on him. And I don't think the true barometer of how good a winger is if they got fucked up by Fox or not. Because, he'll do that to you. He'll do that to players. So for whatever reason, he seems to be on the outer, though, and that's the second week or third week in a row, I think, that he's been not selected by Holbrook.
And in favour of Brian Kelly in particular.
Brian Kelly's the centre inside him, though, right?
And...
it's like, is it Sammy that you put that they replaced him with?
Sammy wasn't Marzu, or sorry, Herbert was, he put Marzu over on the wing, so it would have been Sammy's position.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't take Corey Thompson out of the side.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's in favour of Sammy.
Yeah. Right, now Joey says, how much will Para beat the Panthers by? Discuss. Negative fucking 56. Second 50 burger of the season coming up on the Panthers.
That is correct. Para.
Yeah. At least, there's like, honestly, I mean, this is like the baby eels situation. So the Glenny Dicks, they'll call them affectionately. And and will they get up over the much fancied opposition? Well, the real Glenny Dick doesn't tend to do that often, so.
Gets up all the time, just no one notices.
Sounds like a shit tourist destination in Scotland.
Glenny Dick.
Yeah. I'm not going to fucking...
It's a pretty small place and it smells funny.
Daniel, I'm not going to discuss that one. We've discussed your fucking team enough, being the Knights. Okay, so Grover says, club's binning the last round because finals is the goal. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it, I don't care.
100%. At any stage, do whatever the fuck you want. It's your team,
I mean, Bellamy, this year's been a little bit forced, I suppose. But yeah, in previous years, he's sort of, you know, done post-origin rest periods and then leading up to the finals rest periods. So look, I don't have any problem with it. The clubs don't. I mean, if they're just, you know, using players out of their top 30 and they're not trying to get dispensations to pull kids up into games that because they're tanking them, then I got no issue at all.
That's it.
You know, has this round of football been, you know, diminished in quality? You know, we'll judge afterwards. I mean, probably has, but, you know, does it mean that the finals are going to be better because star players are rested and ready to roll? You know, that's a trade-off. The Roosters getting fined $40,000, even though Annesley agreed with every comment made by Robbo. Why didn't the other clubs be so bold when they've been fucked over this season?
Scared of having to pay the fine?
Oh, and you've seen Ricky. Ricky's been saying things and sending texts and stuff to the NRL.
Again, it's a dance. It's the dance that they have to do.
Yep.
So he had to come out because his player was severely injured. The NRL had to come out and fine him because of what he said. But then Annesley had to come out and say what actually should have happened.
Exactly.
It's kind of like why you can't actually go and make a citizen's arrest.
Hmm. Nathan says, 8 teams, 180-ish players, all in southeast Queensland. Mad Monday. What could possibly go wrong? I did see something from on the news headlines earlier tonight where the NRL has basically said, shit's changed. Those days are gone. Do anything and you are going to get absolutely fucked up.
Yeah.
So well, the thing is, it's going to be more disruptive for finals teams, I reckon, because you've got a situation where, you know, they've grouped a couple of teams at, like, you know, Manly are up at Twin Waters, I think, with Storm and maybe East. So probably not an issue there. That's three teams that are focused on finals. Well, but then you've got, like,
North as well, aren't they?
Are they? Yeah. And you've got these clusters of teams at different venues. So if you've got, like, teams that are in the finals at a resort, and then there's like 2 to 3 teams that are mad Mondaying at the same resort. Those resorts are basically closed off just for the use of the NRL, right? Yeah. So the players could conceivably have a great time and get drunk and stuff and not have it, you know, leak out to the world due to the bubble. I mean, like, his journalists aren't going to be in there unless they're flying drones over and shit. So they could conceivably have a good time at their resort. And,
yeah, they could.
But yeah.
Well, has there been any actual official word on what happens? Like, I don't think Queensland would kick them out, like, as in the Queensland government. But
right.
But are they going, well, okay, as soon as we're knocked out, we're going to get straight back?
Yeah.
Is there?
But what if they bring someone in, you know, a la Appy or... you know, bring someone from outside the bubble in, and that's a breach of the protocol. And there happens to be a finals team staying at the same resort.
Oh, right, yeah, you're talking like a civilian come brought into the
yeah.
Well, that's the danger, isn't it? Because this is the thing
that will fuck things up.
Because it's not the issue is not necessarily the teams going home or getting kicked out and going back to Sydney.
Yeah.
The issue is if they no longer have responsibilities underneath the NRL bubble because the NRL season has ended for them. They can just go out and get fucked up at Shooters and you know,
and like, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
So are they going to go, well, okay, we're straight back to Sydney or wherever we're going? Are there any quarantining requirements coming from Queensland into New South Wales?
Don't think so, no.
I don't think so. Okay. So
that's the other way around, yeah. The other thing is that could put, not a dampener on, I would never say it's a dampener, but something that may restrict the level of celebration and perhaps type of celebration at Mad Monday 2021 is the fact that the wives and kids are there as well.
Yep.
So you're on dad rolling back into their small apartment. Or a hotel room, absolutely fucking blind.
Well, the other thing is, are there any non-rugby league personality or people in these resorts?
I think they're booked out for the clubs in question.
So then by that logic, as part of the biosecurity, I'd almost assume it would be that when your club's knocked out, you're gone unless they've factored in there, you know, a recovery period or a...
Yeah.
A a certain period afterwards, but if you're not partaking in the NRL season anymore, outskies. You're free to go and book something else, but...
Yeah. I'll try and tap some people and see what I can find out anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
What's going to happen. David says, why are we cursed with such stupid pricks as rugby league journalists? How can anyone write an article with a straight face asking why are the Dogs purging 12 players?
The question you should not be asking is why are we cursed with such dumb fucks as journalists? All they are doing is filling a gap. It is fucking how the market works. If people stop clicking on their shit, then they stop having incentive to have it written. Unfortunately, the media outlets run the game, and so that won't change.
Do you reckon, you know, some of these guys, and there's some that I would 100% say this doesn't apply to, but do you think that, you know, these journalists that have come up thinking, you know, gone through, you know, their education and their early years in the game and working for media outlets and stuff and that, you know, operating with integrity, and then all of a sudden now you've got to hit a quota of space for an article and you're like, oh, fuck, the best I can come up with is the Dogs purging a list of fucking players, when really what I want to say is why aren't they purging their entire playing list? And they're just cringing away typing it because, you know, that's what the man demands in the space and the, you know, X amount of words.
I'm not sure that would be there, but I would suggest that over that publication, there are, you know, KPIs that need to be hit, and they understand the best way to do that. They would have stats on that, and they would understand which clubs fans click. They would understand what they click on, be it positive or negative.
Yeah.
They would understand what fans of other teams, you know, via cookies, click on. And look, it's similar. I've had points in my career, like I've worked a long time in finance, and you come into it with these young ideals of, okay, I'm going to help people and do these things and really make a difference and keep this great capitalist machine of ours rolling. And later on, you find yourself going, well, fucking how close to non-predatory behavior can I come without losing my job?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, you're right, there's quotas and you have to do this and you have to do that. And, you know, I'm sure that most journalists are people of morals and with integrity, but at the end of the day, if you want to work in the industry, you've got to play by the rules.
Yeah. So. I had a guy from News give us a proposal for some marketing and advertising for the business. And some of the stuff they can track digitally and things that they can do within that, obviously significant resources available to them for a cost to the customer, is pretty fucking outrageous. like you say, drilling down to, we will understand what your demographic is, what your target market is, who they are, what they like, what they click on, why they click on it. Fucking, it's just, and we'll tailor your entire campaign around that.
Now imagine what a finance company that has not only all of your online behavior, but all of your spending behavior knows about you.
Mentally.
Yeah. It's why I don't know if you watched that, the Netflix doco on the privacy stuff.
No.
About the suggestions.
The social network one or?
That's it. And essentially people are freaking out thinking their phone's listening to them. You know how like you talk about stuff or you're with somebody and then the next day it comes up on your phone.
You get mad about it, yeah.
And people think that it's listening to you. It's actually far scarier than that. And just based on what they know about you or based on what we're giving them for free, they're scarily good at just predicting our behavior.
Mm.
Like if they were just listening, that's fine. Because that's the guy said it's dumb technology. You know, that's something listening for words, putting them together, giving you something based on that, but it's actually predicting your behavior.
Yeah.
So
mental.
Get short, fuck journalists.
Yes. I love this one from Ben. He said, why would the Eels finally play themselves into some sort of form and then rest everyone 1 week out from the finals? Why would you not aim for fourth place? Surely two shots at the final four is better than one. It is, and I'll take it even further, Ben. The fourth place finish for the Eels, if they were to somehow get it, would put them up against the Storm, a team they've beaten two out of two times this season. So is there a better round one matchup mentally for a side?
Yeah.
This is, you know, like there isn't. So the answer is that when you want to know why they did all this, the answer is cowardice.
Well,
absolute fucking cowards.
If they honestly believe that they can, that they have the wood on the Storm, then you would be definitely shooting for fourth spot and you would be definitely up for that contest.
Mm-hmm.
But any club that worships and enlists Clinton Gutherson as their spiritual leader or otherwise clearly doesn't know what the fuck to believe in, let alone themselves. I think strategically it's pretty fucking ordinary from Arthur. And given the form they were in before last week's match,
mm-hmm. yep,
it's fucking crazy in my opinion.
Yep.
To me, Arthur strikes me as the guy who, once he's got a plan, once he's set things the way it's supposed to be, I don't see a lot of variance, or I don't see a lot of capacity to be nimble in him.
Even if the lemmings are falling off the fucking cliff, and this just is what, keep them coming.
And he would have predicted them to be easily in the top four. So I think this is just a long-term plan that they had to rest people for the finals, and he's just not taking into account the difference in position from where they assumed they'd be to where they actually are.
I just reckon I think it's more the fact that they probably see the Manly game as a foregone conclusion, and then whatever they do doesn't matter, so why not rest guys? But also that they'll probably end up playing it's either the eighth place team yet to be determined or the Knights. And it's probably like there's a disrespect level in there too, where they're like, it doesn't fucking matter which one of those two it is.
Yeah, but even if you're not talking about top four, you're talking about the fact that they need fucking more time together.
Well, that's right, they do. And I think, and like after a month or over a month of losing, I mean, there's no way he'd be thinking the same way he was, you know, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
After some absolute, like, you know, they got fucking smashed by 50 by Manly like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Like that's, and like that is something that, you know, there's actions, you know, that need to be taken.
I would be giving them a week to fine tune and you know, extend on what they did last week.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep, exactly. Absolute cowardice. Isaac said, as a Knights fan, who would you rather face in the finals, Roosters or Eels? This time last week was an easy answer. Obviously, you'd want the Eels last week, but then you think, okay, we get it. They did outplay the Storm, fairly comprehensively. As not a Knights fan, I want to see him play the Roosters just so we can have like the Mitchell Pearce narrative. The Roosters narrative play out. But yeah, okay. So if
I say the Roosters.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the potential basement of Parramatta is lower than the Roosters.
I think no matter what, I'd rather face the Eels because I just see them as an easier game.
Yeah.
But you know, is that, you know, they don't have Tommy Turbo, so maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, that's them. True.
Who knows? Arthur might decide it's a good idea to rest fucking players in week one of the finals as well.
Yeah, just in preparation for his big week two clash. Yeah. James said, Hastings watch. Outplayed by Robert Louis and a hooker playing at seven. Nilled at home for the first time in 30 years whilst enjoying a man advantage for 20 consecutive minutes. Are you excited, Glennie? Because this was some breakfast club shit.
Yeah, but how did he play? You know, like you can't.
He was outplayed by Robert Louis and a hooker playing seven.
Yeah, well, fuck.
Kneeled at home for the first time in 30 Robert years. Robert Louis
played with the efficiency of a fucking sliding glass door being repeatedly opened and closed multiple times. I think over and over again.
The telling thing is that his team ended up on nil whilst enjoying a man advantage for 20 consecutive minutes of the game.
Okay, so you've answered my question. Clearly he didn't play well.
Yeah, right.
Which means he's going to fit in at the Tigers just fucking fine.
Well, he's got months to find his why. So
I saw some interesting takes on how he fits in, and
some of that is dependent upon if you get Mitchell Pearce, though, right? And then Jackson becomes like a hook, like a 14 or something.
I think he probably should play 13, but it's just my opinion.
I don't know if he's big enough, is he?
Well, he's got time.
He's a scrawny little fucker.
He's got time. Like a Connor Watson type.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Why the fuck would you be moving Adam Dewey from 6? I don't get it.
Well, I thought you'd be Adam Dewey at 6 and then Mitchell Pearce if they get him at 7.
No, well, the talk is Brooks at 6. And then Luke Mitch Brooks Pearce to the fucking 7. Bin. Yeah. It's C.
Or Shelley Grave or something.
Very, very logical.
Whatever the place with Little Dwarfs go when their time's up.
Give him a fucking tricycle.
Fucking again at the Paralympians. What do you have against them?
That guy got a silver medal, Glenny. If I can show some respect.
Wasn't gold. Should have won gold in the tricycling.
Tricycle swimming. The tricycle medley.
Well, they do have those big fucking water tricycle things with those giant floaty wheels.
That's what I'm saying. Why not?
Yeah, but
I don't know how to go reaching the fucking pedals.
Yeah, so I say little legs would have trouble reaching them, wouldn't it?
Well, he'd have a fucking hand crank. That's a good question. If Oscar Pistorius can wear fucking spring feet,
yeah,
why can't he? Why can't he use one of those fucking tricycle boats?
Okay, so that's more an advantage. than Magic
the fact
legs.
That you asked that question means that you are probably eligible for the Paralympics.
Look, it's an interesting question, and I don't think we're going to find the answer between the three of us. We're just going to find heaps more offensive Paralympics chat. Finally, Kerem says, consider this. All right. If the Sharks beat the Storm 12-10 and the Raiders beat the Roosters 51-0, 8 tries, 9 goals and a field goal, then 8th spot will be decided by a coin toss. Now, that's the result that rugby league needs this year.
Yeah, wow.
Especially if it's Volandis flipping the coin.
Fuck yeah.
The game ends and comes down in a helicopter.
A fucking coin toss? Would they not do a playoff?
That's the rules. Yeah, no. They
fucking coin toss.
Yeah, so because this is like competition points, and then it's like, you know, differential. It's like, you know, going down the stages.
Mm. So yeah, it's points, differential. Then it's how many of your for and against were scored, or is it greater 4?
Or is it tries?
Your for and against can be the same. Yeah, is it the greater 4 or is it number of tries?
But also, what is it this year though too? I mean, because we're talking about a lot of stuff that we've traditionally done. Like even going back to when it was, you know, 5-team series in the finals and stuff.
Well, I remember the Magpies playing the Bulldogs on a Wednesday night playoff to make the top 5.
Yep.
You know, I think it was 1990. No fucking coin toss then, mate. Wednesday night playoff.
Yeah, oof. I don't
got to stay up. So good.
I'm just trying to look it up now to see if there's like I can find a document that gives me the.
Fuck, mate, I don't care that much.
Okay, go fuck yourself then. Sorry, Kieran.
Okay.
Yes, no, that is the result rugby league needs this year. Or, you know what they need? They need Volandis at the last minute to create a new rule for how they differentiate it and make something even more chaotic. Like, I don't know what that would be, but...
Each player's captain submits a sample and the highest sperm count goes through.
2 teams, 1 cup.
Nice. And on that note, folks, that's full time for episode 430. Thanks for listening. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll get links to our social media communities and the store and more. Consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/TwillNation. It's the best way to support the show. And make sure you drop us a rating and review on I was going to say subscribe on Apple Podcasts, but since the new fucking user interface update, now it's like follow or something. They've changed the whole terminology on
follow.
It's been so long since I've subscribed to a new podcast that I literally only found that out yesterday when I went to subscribe to a new podcast. And I'm like, does follow? Am I getting these episodes now? I need to go back to the show. And yeah, okay, they're there. All right, good. So follow it is. So follow us on Apple Podcasts. Fucking tell a friend. And yeah, the more the merrier in that Facebook group too. It's a good spot. You know, in an absolute, like, let's face it, Facebook is a fucking international cunt circus of a social media. However, the Twill Nation Facebook group is a lovely little oasis within. That's it, fellas. Do you have any final words before we move on?
Look, just to let people know, this week on the Patreon, you have the three of us live watching the final episode of Tiger Town. So upcoming episodes on the Patreon are going to include us looking at the other two episodes that we haven't done yet.
Because you haven't seen the first two episodes of Tiger Town. And if you've seen those episodes like I have, and I know Glennie has, you just know there's going to... There's some stuff on there that's just going to trigger him. So I can't wait to re-watch those with him. And yeah, and they'll be coming out over the next couple of weeks, as well as some new concepts that we've come up for members episodes as well, which will be great. Actually, fucking, I know this is putting you on the spot, but we've got to give away the Manscaped thing as well.
We do.
So like, so what can, we're gonna do can, now, can you decide
on go to the Instagram and I'm going to fucking do a random scroll.
Yep.
And so the followers list, that's mine. So we don't want to give away any of those cuts.
Jesus.
Okay, so we've got the, there's a couple who look like bots. And nice, there's my kid. So I'm just...
Probably too young for needing it.
I don't know. If he's got his dad schnoz. Righto, so I'm just going to start scrolling up and down through our followers list until somebody says, stop.
It's a very unfortunate hand action and noise that is coming from your action.
Stop.
Okay, so the winner is, a fucking bearded gentleman with a private account, Matt Stewie.
Matt Stewie. So,
Matt Stewie, if you're listening, hit us with an Instagram DM. And you are the lucky winner of a, what's it called?
The Weed Whacker 2000.
A Weed Whacker nose trimmer direct from our good friends at Manscaped. So,
and don't forget, you can buy all the Manscaped stuff at manscaped.com and use the code TWILLNATION, all in capitals, 20% off and free shipping. And I've got another one of those Weed Whackers as well that they sent me recently, so... They keep fucking sending them to us, so we'll run another competition for another one immediately after. But we need to hear from, was it Matt Stewie?
Matt, yep.
Yep, we need to hear from you, Matt. Hit us up at Instagram DM. And we'll basically need your shipping address, and I'll get that off to you as soon as you let us know, and then we'll think about what the next one's going to be for.
Fantastic.
Beautiful. Okay, anything else, fellas?
That's it.
All right. See you next week.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.